They can wait patiently for months with their arms outstretched, listening to the sounds or feeling the vibrations of their next meal. They don't fly or jump. They simply wait until something brushes by. They're ticks, and they'd like you to be their next meal. Ticks wait or quest until a suitable host approaches. Once on the host, they can take 10 minutes to 2 hours to find a suitable spot to cut into a person's skin and begin feeding on his blood. A tick inserts a feeding tube into the cut and may inject a small amount of its saliva, which could contain a pathogen, such as the one that causes Lyme disease or Rocky Mountain spotted fever. And ticks are out earlier this year than last year because of warmer temperatures. Megan Brett, a medical epidemiologist with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, talked with me about ticks and the diseases they spread.
It's important to know that ticks are active any time that ground temperatures are greater than 50 degrees Fahrenheit, so that would vary depending on where you are. So I think if it's a warmer winter, for instance, I know this winter has been warmer, then ticks may start crawling earlier. So probably spring through summer, up and through the fall as well. But again, it's temperature dependent.
Kelly Lofton, a professor and researcher at the University of Arkansas's entomology department, said ticks need a suitable environment to grow and breed.
A lot of times it depends on the habitat. If you have enough vegetation to have an area where you have a microclimate suitable for ticks. And basically what I'm saying, you've got enough grass or weeds to have an area of high humidity, which they need. That's important. Another thing that's real important is availability of hosts to feed on. So if you have those two together, you can definitely have an area with ticks.
Lofton said a tick can live for a year or two, feeding on different hosts.
The engorged female lays eggs. After it's mated, lays eggs. Those eggs hatch into larval ticks, six legs, what we call seed ticks. Those ticks attach to host, the larval ticks, feed, drop off, molt to the next stage, which is a nymphal stage. And once they find that other host, they attach, feed, till they become replete or full of blood, drop off, molt to an adult tick. The adult tick attaches, feeds on us, and the female takes a tremendous amount of blood that she transfers, basically, or uses to make the egg mass. And what I've described is basically of a three-host tick, which are mostly what we are concerned with, are the three-host ticks, or some ticks that may only have two hosts.
A tick might pick up a disease-causing pathogen from one host and then pass it on to another host during a different stage of its life.
That's where it's really important when we talk about a one, two, or three-host tick. What will happen, a tick will acquire a disease from one of those hosts, transmit it to another host. So there may be some amplification in the host, and when they feed, they transmit it through their feeding. There are a few cases where there can be transovarial transmission, which basically means that if a female adult acquired a disease, it can be transmitted to her offspring, which would be the larval ticks. But that's not real common. And generally, it's a small percentage of the offspring that do that.
The CDC recorded about 22,500 confirmed cases of Lyme disease in 2010. The last year data is available. That compares with almost 30,000 cases in 2009. During those years, no cases of the disease were confirmed in Arkansas. Here's Megan Brett with the CDC.
Lyme disease is predominantly found in the Northeast and the Upper Midwest. It's transmitted by the black-legged tick. This black-legged tick is found in the North and in the South. The thing that differs, though, is that the biting patterns of the ticks that are found in the North differ from those that are found in the South. Additionally, when ticks have been tested to look for the bacteria that causes Lyme disease, the rates of infection of these ticks are actually very low in the South compared with those that are found in the North, say in places like Connecticut. So that's why people in the South are less likely to encounter these ticks And if they do, then the likelihood that they would be bitten by an infected tick is also much lower.
A disease that is found in the South is star eye, or the Southern Tick-Associated Rash Illness.
It presents as a rash, and it actually looks quite similar to Lyme disease. And so people can, it's very easy to confuse with Lyme disease, because in fact it's more like a bullseye rash, which is one of the symptoms that you can see in early Lyme disease. The interesting thing about that is that's found more often in the South, and that's why it's called Southern Tick-Associated Rash Illness. It's actually transmitted by ticks that are common in Arkansas, so it's transmitted by the Lone Star tick. But star eye has not, unlike Lyme disease, star eye hasn't been linked to any sort of chronic or continuing symptoms.
Another disease that is transmitted by ticks common in Arkansas is Rocky Mountain Spotted Fever. The CDC listed 151 confirmed cases of the disease in 2009, the last year the data was available. They estimated that there were probably 1,662 other cases that went unconfirmed. Only one confirmed case was listed in Arkansas, but the group noted 183 probable other cases for the state. Fever, headaches, nausea, and a rash make up the symptoms of the disease. Not all people get the rash, which usually consists of small, flat, pink spots. Dr. Brett said this rash usually starts at the extremities and spreads to the trunk of a person. The CDC says the disease can be fatal if not treated within the first 8 days of symptoms. Other diseases spread by ticks in Arkansas include ehrlichiosis and anaplasmosis. Symptoms of ehrlichiosis and anaplasmosis include fever, headache, chills, and muscle pain. The CDC notes that a combination of symptoms varies greatly from person to person. Here again is Dr. Brett with the CDC.
So ehrlichiosis typically would it typically causes fever, and it can cause a rash in about 30% of patients, and it can be actually up to 60% in children. And the rash can either just be flat, or it can actually kind of form bumps, and it may appear before the onset of fever.
Both diseases can be fatal if not treated. The good news is that a tick usually needs to be attached for several hours to transmit a pathogen, anywhere from 24 to 36 hours. So avoiding ticks and then finding them quickly is paramount. Here's Dr. Lofton again with the university's entomology department.
Well, one of the first things to do, basically, and a lot of people do not want to do this, but if you wear light-colored clothing, you know, light pants, shirts, and even wear long sleeves, tuck your pant legs into your socks, you can see the ticks. That helps a lot, some protection there. Another thing that worked very well is a clothing-only repellent. It's for clothing only. Cannot be used on the skin. An example would be Repel Permanon, and it contains permethrin. You apply that to the clothes, let them dry, and then put your clothes on. That will help a tremendous amount. Now, there's some skin repellents containing DEET and Picardian. Those are a couple of the repellents that are to be used on skin. All that protection really, really does work well.
The CDC recommends removing a tick by using a pair of fine-tip tweezers. Grasp the tick as close to the skin surface as possible and pull upward with steady, even pressure. Don't twist or jerk the tick. Then clean the area with soap and water or rubbing alcohol. Lofted pointed out that encountering a tick in the wild is nothing to worry about.
I would hate for the fear of acquiring a tick-borne disease to prevent someone from enjoying the outdoors. That's where the personal protection comes into play, because, I mean, there's a lot of enjoyment walking around in the woods or out enjoying nature, and we don't want to let them win.
For Ozarks at Large, I'm John Schlois.